You have your Bibles, you can turn to the 46th chapter of Isaiah, just a text. I'll read that brief paragraph, verses 3 and 4 of chapter 46. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Speak to us this morning, our Father, as we open our hearts to your word. Speak to us not necessarily of what we want to hear, but speak to us what we need to hear from your word, we pray. Let the Holy Spirit that inspired these words now touch our lips to speak and our ears to hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't give my life story yet because my life's not done, I hope. But during the course of my years, I've always felt like the center of action is where I'm at, age-wise. I've never wanted to be anything but the age that I am at the particular time. I hope that's a healthy way to be. Oh, I do remember there was a period of time early in my teens when I wished a birthday would hurry up so that I could drive a car and things like that. But several years ago, I was talking to a forceful, well-educated clergyman of another denomination. We were discussing various things, and I was being stimulated and encouraged, when all of a sudden, out of the clear blue sky, he said something like, "I dread growing old." He was younger than I was at the time, and I had never really thought personally very much about growing old. And I confess I still haven't made any definite retirement plans. I'm thinking a little about that. The big 5-0 is coming up this year, you know. And yet I began to become aware of the fact that increasingly more and more people are in our society are looking upon old age as some sort of a calamity. It's one of the obscenities that we don't talk about. We don't think about being old. It seems like our culture, the society in which we live, has had such an emphasis upon youth and upon doing and upon the appearance of youth. My soul, if you have a crow's foot around your eye, it's a major catastrophe. Any kind of wrinkle, my, that's terrible. In culture's eyes. And it seems as though that as a result, we kind of sweep old age under the rug. And yet, barring some alternative, that's where we're all going to arrive one of these days. I may get hit by a truck, but on both sides of my family, people grow old. My grandfather took me fishing when he was 86 years old. And he said, "Son, the water looks a little choppy today. You better let me row." That's a true story. And he was driving his old Chrysler, about a block long. He was driving that well into his 90s. So finally, we took his driver's license away from him. And he died at 96. My father will be 80 years old next year. And he has 5 brothers and sisters older than he is. And so, of course, however the Lord wants to do with me, but barring, you know, getting hit by a truck, I have to look forward to being old one of these days. And I want to look now at the Christian way of growing old. I have, as you can imagine, a number of reasons for talking about a God of old age. Of course, he's not just the God of old age. Thank God he's the God of all ages. But I want the older people in our congregation to know how much we, who are not old people yet, value them. And I want them to look at how God looks at them. And then I want us to be thinking about growing old gracefully. And so bear with me if I'm a little topical to begin with this morning. The Bible does look realistically at old age. It tells us in Psalm 90 that we can expect to live 80 years and 10, and perhaps if God smiles upon us that we can live to be 80 and more, yet there will be hardship. The body does begin to slow down, and it becomes a burden upon the spirit. There's that familiar passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that begins by saying, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, when the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." And then comes some very graphic poetry that describes physically some of the handicaps of growing old. "When those that look out of the windows be darkened, and the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grasshopper will be a burden." And young people can read over those and not even know what he's talking about. But of course, he's very graphically describing this old house, as Stuart Hamlin put it in a song. The Bible is realistic about the fact that we can expect the body to slow down and to, in a sense, wear out. Although you had a hard time telling my granddad about that. But it also tells us that those who grow old in the faith are to be highly honored and respected. The Bible doesn't say it's just a great thing to grow old. I guess there's no particular honor that's attached just to surviving a number of years. But when a person is a man of faith and walks with God for a number of years, then the Bible tells us that the hoary head is a crown of glory if it is found in the way of righteousness. And there is no shortcut to that kind of beauty that comes from walking with God across the years and fighting the battles. And you can talk about cosmetic beauty all you want to, or beauty that comes out of a bottle, or beauty that it takes longer and longer to put on in front of the mirror in the morning. But I want to tell you, the most beautiful people in our church are the people that have walked with God across the years, and maybe they use canes now and then, and maybe their old bones creak a little bit now and then, but there's a glory that shines out through the countenance and through the character and through the experience of people that walk with God across the years that cannot be come by any other way. And I don't know why I'm looking over this way, but you know, we think you're beautiful. And a congregation is rich that has some older people in it. We call them golden agers, and we call them senior citizens. Actually, you're old people is what you are. But we're glad you're here. The Bible also tells about how God used many people who were well along in years. Moses was 80 years old before he really began his career. God shocked Abraham almost out of his skin when he was almost 100. One of my favorites is Caleb. And he says to Joshua, his younger friend, he says, "I am today 80 years old. Give me this mountain." I like that. Simeon was an old man when it was revealed to him of God that he would be the first Old Testament type prophet to say, "This is Messiah." And our text assures us that God never puts people aside because they are well along in years. God just doesn't seem to go along by fads. And he's not carried by the culture that says people are important if they look young and if they seem to be doing a great deal. We need to look again at the values that are associated with old age. We need to look again at the value of having older people in our society. I've pastored 7 churches, counting this one. And in some churches, you don't get quite the same mix. Some of the churches I've pastored have been largely made up of young married people. And that's a lot of fun, to have a sort of a homogeneous mix like that. Everybody enjoys the same thing, but oh, what a lack there is when you don't have some older people. I think a child is poor who never sat and listened to an old granny or an old grampy tell about how it used to be in the old days. You know, my dad did one thing for me, and I'm from a little child. He cultivated in me the sense of the fact that old people were precious. My dad always liked old people. And I can remember as a little boy of 8 or 9 or 10 years old, going and talking to the old people in our family. We had the great family mix when we get together. And my, they seemed so ancient. You know, they were just along with Abraham Lincoln and all the rest. But I listened by the hour and respect so very much. And particularly in the church, they are of a tremendous value. They are models to us of how to grow old and be sweet at the same time. Some Bible scholar said the Lord preserves his saints and the devil pickles his. But you know, you preserve things in sugar, and quite often God's people particularly are models to us of how to grow old gracefully. They're also examples to us. They've come through the battles, and if we will listen, very often their wisdom can help us through battles too. And then they are strength in many ways. Not only do we need to look again at the values that we associate with old age, our society at large, but I feel speaking particularly to the older people and to myself, I'm going to be an older person soon, that we need to establish our own priorities and values and not let a pagan culture establish what's important and who's important. If we listen to the world, the unchristian world, they'll begin to make us believe we're useless. And our culture seems to be action mad. One of the worst things you can be as a young person is to get bored. And you know, I can't remember being bored a day in my life. You have to be doing something or have to be entertained all the time. Paul Tournier says the dreadful feeling of uselessness that so deeply bothers most elderly people, he says, springs out of the Western civilization that holds effective action above all other concepts. And he goes on to say an older person must discover new criteria for evaluating his life other than doing, instead of considering himself just a worn-out adult. What Tournier is saying is that instead of just doing, we need to rediscover the fact that God puts a great accent on being. And at different stages of our human life, we have different values. Paul Tournier goes on to say that in childhood, assiduous study under authority is the law. I think we've forgotten that too. We want to let the little kids choose their own courses of study, and we don't want to be too hard on them. We don't want to be too strict about rote learning and so forth, but we need to rediscover the fact that children are not adults. Then he goes on to say that adulthood, the law is self-directing activity. But then he says, when you get into the older years, choosing becomes the supreme vocation of old age. And the old man must free himself from the thought patterns of adulthood and realize that he is worth a great deal, not just for what he is now doing, but for what, under the grace of God, he is. Older people must see themselves as valuable for what they are. and the twin specters of loneliness and uselessness are weapons that the enemy of our soul will apply to all of us, but particularly in old age. If we let the world dictate to us the criteria, our values of what makes us worthy or unworthy. And our text brings a word from God directly to older people. I just want to look briefly at what God has to say to you and to me about the fact that we are going to grow old and He is going to be our God in that time. First of all, He says, I am He that will bear you. God is saying that as we get old, He doesn't continue His attention upon the important people, the children and the adults, and relegate His care of us as older people to an angel or to a second-class priority. But He goes on to say that He Himself will be the one that will give us just as much care and just as much love and just as much attention as at any other stage in our lives. He said, I am He, and even to your hoar hairs will I carry you. I like that. God Himself will pay attention to us to the very end of our time here on earth until He takes us to be with Him. Then He goes on to say that He's not ashamed to own us. He says, I have made and I will bear. The person who is growing old in the faith is the special work of God. He bears God's hallmark. As we said before, there's no shortcut to that kind of beauty of what God is turning out. Cosmetic beauty isn't even in the same league. If you want to see beautiful people, see people that God is not ashamed to say, I am He. I have made you. You're precious like old china to me. What do you do with your old china? You don't hide it somewhere. You're proud of it. You show it off. And that's what God is saying. Then He goes on to say, I will bear. I will carry you. As thy day, so shall thy strength be. Now, this is not a broadcast promise to all old people. We said there's no particular virtue in just living a long life, but this is God's promise to His people that are living in faith, that are walking with Him, and He says, you are my people, and He says, I will bear you. As your day, so shall your strength be. And if we could keep our faith simple and keep our trust in God sure, He said, I'll see to it that when the hard places come and when the lonely days come, and when the attack of Satan that says you're useless comes, I will bear you myself. It won't overwhelm you. It may be that God's hands and God's feet are younger hands and feet. It may be that this message is speaking to me of how I can assuage the feelings of uselessness and loneliness that other people may feel. But however He does it, God has promised it. He said, I will carry you. And I just claim that, literally. He says, I will deliver you. That speaks to me of particular attacks of fear, particular enemies, those things that would come in like a flood. Sometimes young people get the idea that when you get older, as you get older, it kind of smooths out. And the battles are a lot easier, and really old people don't have great battles. But you know better than that. And we are tested even down to old age. And we will have battles to fight, but we need to fall back on this promise from God that He said, not only will I bear you as your day shall your strength be, but He said, I will deliver you. And the end product is that we will be testimonies. We will be an enriching part of the society of God. Proverbs 20:29 says, "The glory of young men is their strength, and the beauty of old men is the gray head." God doesn't look on just what we can do, but He looks on what we are by His grace. And I'm so thankful for His promise that even down to old age, He'll be my God.